Amen. As we come together on this morning, continuing to give God thanks for all that He has done for us. As I was sitting there thinking of the many people that were named by Brother Gary, some that we have not seen in quite some time here in worship. And then there is a couple that are here that have not been here in quite some time, but they are here, and we thank God for that. We have a life that we are supposed to dedicate unto God and do the things that are right before Him, that He may be pleased with us. This morning, we are going to talk about the importance of prophecy. The importance of prophecy. The scripture reference from the book of Hebrews, chapter 1, verse 1 and 2. Brother Brian, go ahead.
God, who is such a time to the endowers, my respect, and time past, and Father prophet, as in these last days, to us, and His Son, pointer of all things, of whom also made
the Lord. Love that, brother. Brother Brian said that that was the first scripture that he was given to read in worship service. And he committed it to memory. And I believe that as we look at this scripture and we see that the concern for God's word, the importance of prophecy. Prophecy was something that was given by God to the prophets, giving them the word, something that they would tell foretell that would happen. We know that there are or have been false prophets and there are false teachers today, but there were those prophets that were of God, and when God gave them the word, they spoke that word, and the word in which they spoke, those things came to pass. We find as we look at that scripture reference there, long ago, he says, and many times and in many ways. It wasn't just man that spoke, but there was also a mule that spoke, a donkey that spoke. And God could use and did use whatever source He wanted to in order to get His word across to the people. But when we look at it, we find today that He says He has spoken to us by His Son. We need to listen to the word of His Son, and we need to listen to this word, and we need to understand that the word need to be obeyed. And if we do not obey it, we will have to give an account of what we have done. We're going to give an account regardless, but if we disobey the word, we are going to suffer. We're going to suffer. So the word of God, it gives us comfort and encouragement. It gives us comfort and encouragement, and we need that. When we talk about Hebrews chapter 10 and the verse 24 from time to time, where it tells us that we need to come together, let us consider one another to provoke unto love and good works. We need to understand that that's comfort that we get from one another. That's encouragement that we get from one another. But we also get those things from God's word, and we need them. We need to know what God's word is saying, and we need to know that God's word is true, and that whatever He has said, it will come to pass, and we can bank on it. We can rest assured. We can know that it is truth because, again, it comes from His word. 1 Thessalonians 4 and the verse is 18. 1 Thessalonians 4 and the verse is 18, where it talks about the coming of the Lord, because there's a lot of people that are sorrowed because someone has died, that they will never see them again. But some have died in Christ, some have died out of Christ. But the ones that have died in Christ, that we know that have attended worship service, that have been steadfast, those that have done what they were supposed to, the Bible says in this last verse here of chapter 4, 1 Thessalonians, therefore encourage one another with these words. Encourage one another with these words. Let's go back and read some of it. Verse 13, but we do not want you to be uninformed, brothers, about those who are asleep, that you may not grieve as others do who have no hope. For since we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so through Jesus, God will bring with him those who have fallen asleep. For this we declare to you by the word from the Lord, that we who are alive and who are left until the coming of the Lord will not precede those who have fallen asleep. For the Lord himself will descend from heaven with a cry of command, with the voice of an archangel, and with the sound of the trumpet of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. That's comfort, isn't it? Knowing that one of your family members that has died, and that he or she attended worship the way that they were supposed to, they lived their life, there was the example that they were supposed to be. Now we can't tell for sure where they're going to be, but there's comfort in knowing that they just might precede us when Christ comes back in the clouds, that they may be there and we may be there as well. So let's continue to do the things that we're supposed to do. John chapter 14 in the verses 1, as Jesus talks to his disciples. His disciples were a little bit distraught because Jesus was telling them that he was going away. He was going away, but he tells them something very important. He said, let not your hearts be troubled. There in John 14 in the verses 1. Let not your hearts be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. Now, the belief that they had in God was that God was the Almighty, the creator of all things, a God that cannot lie. Jesus said, if you believe in God, believe in me. Believe what I'm telling you. He says, in my Father's house are many rooms. If it were not so, I would have told you. He said, I go to prepare a place for you, and if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there ye may be also. That's comfort in that. Knowing that Jesus says, I am going to be crucified, I am going to be buried, I am going to be raised on the third day, I am going to show myself to many, and I am going to ascend into heaven. But where I am, there ye may be also. And we know, doubting Thomas, Lord, we do not know where you're going. How can we know the way? Jesus says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except by me. That's comforting. That's encouraging them to continue to move forward, continue to hold on, because one day they will be able to be with Christ throughout all eternity. All they have to do is hold on. Hold on. And I believe that we need to tell people that today. That through prophecy, listening to the word of God, that they can hold on. There's hope and tranquility in God's word, in the prophecy of God's word, that peace that we can have, that comfort that we can have, listening to God's word and understanding that his word is true. His word is true. Titus chapter 2, verse 11 through 13. Titus chapter 2, verse 11 through 13. For the grace of God has appeared, bringing salvation for all people. We were talking this morning in class, reference to Jesus coming for the Jews to save his people from their sins. But it was not just for the Jews, but it was also for the Gentiles. Paul says that in Romans chapter 1, verse 16. For I am not ashamed of the gospel, for it's a power unto God. To who? To the Jew first for salvation. To the Jew first and also to the Greek. Power of God. So we have to look at it, and it says, for the grace of God has appeared, bringing salvation for all people, training us to renounce ungodliness and worldly passions, and to live self-controlled, upright, and godly lives in this present age. Verse 13, waiting for our blessed hope, the appearing of the glory of our great God and Savior Jesus Christ. Waiting. You know, a lot of times we want to rush things. Well, if we decided right now that we were not going to wait on Jesus any longer, what good would it do us? I'm going to make something happen. We can't make anything happen. We cannot rush Christ. We have to wait on him. Jesus does not even know when he's going to return. Only the Father knows these things. Wouldn't it be good right now, those of us that are worshiping God in spirit and in truth, our mind's in the right place, our attitude is right, our life is right. Wouldn't it be good if Jesus came right now? It would, wouldn't it, Brother Mark? But you know what? It didn't happen, did it? We're past that moment. You know what we have to look forward to? We have to look forward to this moment and the next moment. We have hope, though. We have hope. See, some of us can say, if we died yesterday, we know that we would not be able to get into heaven. But if we die right now, everything will be all right. We need to live right before God. We need to do the things that are right. He says once again there in verse 12, training us to renounce. What is training us? The word of God is training us. Training us to renounce ungodliness and worldly passions and to live self-controlled. To live self-controlled, upright and godly in this present age. Man, the things that are going on around me, there's no way I can live right. That's not what the Bible says. The Bible says you can. It takes some training. It takes some want to. Some self-will to do the things that are right before God. And we must do those things if we're planning on getting into heaven. So hope and tranquility. We need peace in our lives. And we need to understand that God is the only one that can give it to us. The only one that can give it to us. The word of God, it talks about in prophecy that the word is to convert people to the gospel. Convert them to the truth. Change them from their old ways. Make them something or somebody new. We need to accept this and we need to live by it. And we need to listen to his word. For again, his word is truth. His word is truth. Acts 17 and the verse is 31. Acts 17 and the verse is 31. Bible says, because, let's go back up a little bit, I guess, in verse 29. Being then God's offspring, we ought not to think that the divine being is like gold or silver or stone. An image formed by the art and imagination of man. The times of ignorance God overlooked, but now commands all people everywhere to repent. Why? Because he has fixed the day on which he will judge the world in righteousness by a man whom he has appointed, and of this he has given assurance to all by raising him from the dead. So there is a reason why we want to convert to God's word. Not to the ways of man. Not to some God that some man has carved out, but to the word of God and to God himself. We want to convert to him. Because this is what we're going to be judged by, his word. By that man whom he sent to this earth in order to be crucified. To live just as you and I are living today. But he lived without sin. The Bible says we all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. Jesus did not sin. He did not sin, so therefore he's able to judge us. You know, again, that's what people say. Don't judge me. Who are you to judge me? But they have to understand that we can use a righteous judgment. But Jesus, the most righteous person that has ever lived upon this earth, amen, can judge each one of us. And he judges us daily. And we judge ourselves by looking at his word and doing the things that we're supposed to do. When we find that we have a fault, let's get rid of that fault. Let's do what's right. When we as individuals see that there's a fault in someone else's life, let's point that out to them. But remember in Matthew chapter 7 that we have to make sure that we get the beam out of our own eye before we can get the speck out of someone else's eye. In the book of 2 Peter chapter 3 and the verses 9. 2 Peter chapter 3 and the verses 9. God wants us to be saved. He wants us to be converted to his word. He wants us to be steadfast. He wants us to continue down the right path. He says, the Lord is not slow to fulfill his promise, as some count slowness, but is patient toward you. Patient toward you. Not willing or not wishing that any should perish, but that all should reach repentance. This is God's desire right here. You know, people say, you know, we don't know what he wants. We don't know what she wants. But God has told us what he wants. Are we willing to give him what he wants? He want our all. He don't want half. He want all. He want all. This is something that we have to realize. Our life does not belong to us. We are on borrowed time. James says your life is but a vapor that appeared for a little time and then vanished away. We are on borrowed time. And you know, again, I tell you from time to time, if you borrow something, that means you need to give it back. Amen. This life is borrowed, and God is going to get it back. He's going to get back the spirit. Where will your soul spend its eternity? Let's think about it as we think about prophecy. Prophecy has told us that we can be purified, we can be sanctified, if we would only do the things that we're supposed to do. In the book of 1 John chapter 3, 1 John chapter 3 in the verses 2 and 3. 1 John chapter 2, chapter 3, verse 2 and 3. Beloved, we are God's children now. We are God's children now. And what we will be has not yet appeared. But we know when He appears, we shall be like Him. Because we shall see Him as He is. And everyone who does hopes in Him purifies himself as He is pure. You want to see Him? Well, how are you going to live? You want Him to say, enter in my good and faithful servant. How are you going to live? What are you going to do with your life? He says right here, and everyone who does hopes in Him purifies himself as He is pure. Be holy because He's holy. That's what it's all about. This life in which we're living, God wants us to be pleasing in His sight. He wants us to be as Job was before Him. Have you considered my servant Job? He's a just and upright man. Can God say that about you and I today? That you have been purified? Because the scriptures tell us that we can be purified? We have to believe in God's word. Amen. Going back to John chapter 17, verse 17. You know, we talk about truth. What is truth? He says, thy word is truth. Sanctify them through thy truth. Thy word is truth. So we can be purified and sanctified by the word of God. Well, we have to believe in it. And we have to apply it to our life. We have to be willing. God has done His part. Are we willing to do our part? You know, a lot of people just want you to, they want you to do it all. A man asked one day, we stopped and asked him, do you need some help changing your flat tire? And he said, yes, I need some help. His help to us was standing back watching us do the work. God, He wants us to do something. He wants us to hear His word. Again, this scripture tells us that we need to purify ourselves. You want to see Him? That's your hope. Purify yourself. Cleanse yourself. We come before Him according to Romans chapter 12 and present ourselves as a living sacrifice. God does not accept anything unclean. Does not accept anything unclean. Now, yes, in the beginning, we are unclean. We are filthy. We have to have our sins washed away in the watery grave of baptism. But after that, when we come to God, we have to have our lives right. We have to be perfect before Him. So let's continue to do what is right. Let's continue to purify ourselves and know that the Word of God is true. That the Word of God is true. The Bible teaches us that the Word, it should motivate us to serve and to evangelize. To serve Him and to evangelize. We're looking for some people that are lost because that's why Jesus came, according to Luke chapter 19 and the verses 10. But the Son of Man came to seek and to save that which was lost. We need to do the same. We need to look for those individuals that are lost. And we can't look for them if we're not doing anything. If we are stagnant ourselves, if we are not moving, we're like pond water, we're just there, we're not doing what we're supposed to do. God's people, they do what God wants them to do. In the book of 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 52, 1 Corinthians 15 in the verses 52, in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trumpet, for the trumpet will sound and the dead will be raised imperishable and we shall be changed. We shall be changed. But those individuals that are going to be changed, those individuals that are going to be told to enter in my good and faithful servant, they have to have done something. The Bible tells us there in verse 58, therefore, my beloved brethren, be steadfast, immovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, knowing that in the Lord your labor is not in vain. Your labor is not in vain. Have you ever worked on a job and you worked that job and you worked that job just for nothing? Have you ever done that? The Bible tells us that if we work toward the Lord, if we serve Him, if we're out there trying to win souls for Him, our labor is not in vain. It is not in vain. So let's do what is right. Let's try to bring others to Christ. Let's continue to do what we're supposed to. Let's continue to serve one another. Because this is what God is pleased with. He's pleased with us serving others. He's pleased with us going out there into the community, inviting people to come in, sitting down with them, studying the Word with them, trying to convince them that He is our Creator. He has sent His Son in order to die for our sins. He loves us, and He wants us to be saved. He wants them to look at the Word and be obedient unto it. 2 Corinthians in the chapters 5 and the verses 10 and 11. He tells us, and we cannot escape this. No matter how hard you try, you cannot escape the judgment. You know, we talk about there are some things that some appointments that we have to make that we cannot miss. You know, we get doctor's appointments. We call the doctor, say, I can't make it. We need to go, but we say we can't make it. We make up some excuse because we don't want to hear what the doctor has to say. Come judgment, we cannot make up an excuse. Amen. We cannot call God and say, can you put this off just for a little while longer? The answer is no. It says here in verse 10, for we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ so that each one may receive what is due for what he has done in the body, whether good or bad, good or evil. Do you believe that? Do you believe that God is going to judge you according to what you have done? You know, Brother Mark don't have to give an account for what Brother Malachi does, and Brother Malachi don't have to give an account for what Brother Mark does. But you know what? Each one of us is going to have to give an account of what we have done or what we didn't do. We are going to give an account. And that's the good thing. You know, Tim is here today, and I generally say this when he's not here, but I'm going to say it while he's here because y'all think I'm scared of him. I'm glad I don't have to give an account for what Tim does. I am glad, and I'm pretty sure he can say the same thing about me, but he bet not. We have a God that we serve. Amen. And each thing that we do, we will give an account for it. Isn't that good? That we can look at our lives and we can say, God, I am ready. We can look at the next man's life and say, I don't know. Because that's the truth. We do not know whether that individual is ready or not. But we know if we're ready or not. We will appear before the judgment seat. In verse 14, the Bible says, for the love of Christ controls us, because we have concluded this, that one has died for all, therefore all have died. Now some will say, well, if Christ controls us, then that means we don't have a choice. That's not what this verse is saying. For the love of Christ controls us. You know, when we say that Christ loves us and we love Him, we look at that and we're obedient. We're doing what we're supposed to do. We're that child that God wants us to be. We're that person. We're that father. We're that mother. We're that son. We're that daughter. We're the person that God wants us to be because of the love of Christ. Do you believe that one day that you are going to die? Do you believe that one day that you will be judged and you will be judged according to the Word of God? Do you believe that? If you don't believe it, you need to start believing it. Because one day we will die. We will die. But by the prophecy of Scripture, we can have confidence and security in God's plan. Because God has a plan. God has the best plan. You know, a lot of people say, well, I don't like your plan. Let me change this. Let me change that. Let me go a different way. No, it's God's way or no way. Because it's God's plan. We cannot change God's plan. Many men have tried to change God's plan for salvation. Many men have tried to change God's plan, who He will and who He will not let into heaven. Many people have tried to change those things, but it cannot be changed. Because God made the plan. He made the plan. You know, we look at our pencil sometime and there's an eraser on one end and there's a lead on the other. God, again, you know, there's that pencil got lead on both ends. That's God. God makes no mistakes. He has made no mistake. He will not make a mistake. We can have confidence in His plan and we can have security. You know, there's those people that live in those gated communities, and we call that a false sense of security, because when they go in, somebody else can slip in right behind them. there is no one going to be able to slip into heaven. Isn't that good? That we know who our neighbors are going to be. You know, a lot of times we don't know who our neighbors are now because we don't go by and visit them. But in heaven, we know who our neighbors are going to be. We know that there's not going to be an immoral person there. A person that has done wrong and did not get that wrong right. We know he or she is not going to be in heaven. But we know that we can be there if we do what we're supposed to do. Confidence and security in God's plan. 2 Peter chapter 1 and the verse is 16. 2 Peter chapter 1 and the verse is 16. Only way we're going to be able to get there. Since it is written, you shall be holy, for I am holy. That's the wrong verse. 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 16. For we do not follow cleverly devised myths when we made known to you the power and coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. But we were eyewitnesses of his majesty. For when he received honor and glory from God, the Father, and a voice was borne to him by the majestic glory. This is my beloved Son, with whom I am well pleased. Do we believe that today? That God was pleased with what Jesus did? We can have confidence and security if we do. If you don't, I don't know what to tell you. I don't know what to tell you. I told you what God desires of us. I told you what the desire of God is. I've told you what you need to do in order to be obedient unto him. I've told you what God has in store for us. We have hope that we can live in heaven with him throughout all eternity if we would only believe what his word says. This is my beloved Son in whom I'm well pleased. Hear you him. What did we start out with in the beginning? Hebrews chapter 1, verse 2. In these last days, he has spoken to us through his Son. We talked a little bit this morning about the last days. We are in the last days right now. The last days began when Jesus was crucified. The last days, risen from that grave. The last days. We are here. We are here. Now, what are we waiting on? We're waiting on the last day. That's what we're waiting on now. But we're living in the last days, waiting on the last day. Are you ready for that day? Verse 19 and 20. And we have the prophetic word more fully confirmed, to which you will do well to pay attention as to a lamp shining in a dark place until the day dawns and the morning star rises in your hearts. Knowing this first of all, I love this verse. See, God didn't make a mistake. I love this verse. He says this, that no prophecy of Scripture comes from someone's own interpretation. That's just how I interpret that, Brother Brian. I'm saying what I see here. But people say, you're saying that because that's how you interpret the Scriptures. No, I'm saying that because that's how I understand the Scriptures. The Bible says in verse 21, for no prophecy was ever produced by the will of man, but men spoke from God as they were carried along by the Holy Spirit. Now, how do we speak today? We speak by the word of God. What do we speak? We speak the things in which we have studied. We speak the things that are written. It is not any private interpretation. We're not trying to rewrite God's word. We're trying to enforce God's word. That's what we need to understand, and that's what we need to continue to do. Do you believe that? Do you believe that the scriptures that we're looking at, the scriptures that we're using, do you believe that this is God's word? This is the word that we should live by. If you're here this morning, you're not a child of God, believe this, that the Bible says the only way that you can become one of his children, according to Romans chapter 10 and the verses 17, faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Amen. And then what must you do? You must believe God's word. You must believe it because that's what the word says. Mark chapter 16, verse 16. He that believes, we'll come back there in just a moment. He that believes, John 8:24. Except ye believe that I'm he, you shall die in your sins. That's Jesus. Who is Jesus? Jesus is the Son of God. Jesus is the one that came to this earth in order to die for the sins of the world. Jesus is the one that God so loved the world that he gave his son. And they said, whoever believes in him shall not perish but have everlasting life. John 3:16. Do we believe that? So you hear, you believe, you repent, according to Luke chapter 13 and verses 3. Except you repent, you shall all likewise perish. You shall all likewise perish. If you do not repent, if you do not have a change of mind, if you're not willing to go into a different direction, the Bible says you will perish. You will perish. What did Peter tell Simon, a sorcerer? You need to have part no lie in this matter. May your money perish with you. Be destroyed. Because Simon thought that he could buy the gift of the Holy Spirit. That was after he became a child of God. So what do you think about those that do not become children of God? They're going to perish if they don't get their lives right. And then you make that confession that Jesus Christ is the Son, according to Matthew chapter 10, verse 32. If you confess him before man, he will confess you before the Father. We need to do that. We need to make that confession. And then he says, going back to Mark 16, he that believes and is baptized shall be saved. What about the man that does not be baptized? You should know that, right? Just the opposite. He will not be saved. He will not be saved. Many people say, well, I don't have to be baptized. I have Jesus. You do? How did you get him? Galatians chapter 3, verse 27 says, as many of you as been baptized into Christ have put on Christ. Amen. So how can you have him if you have not been baptized in him? If you have not put him on, how can you have him? How can you have him? You can't. There's no way. No way. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except by me. And then what must we do once we're baptized? The Bible says we're raised to walk a newness of life according to Romans chapter 6. To walk a newness of life. We must continue to grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ according to 2 Peter chapter 3 and the verses 18. We must do those things. We go back and we look at the Word of God. The Word of God is true. It is true. God sent his son in order to save his people. God sent his son in order to save each one of us. Whosoever will make that confession that you believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God, be immersed in the watery grave of baptism, rise to walk a newness of life, die in faithful, you will be able to get into heaven come the end. That last day. If you're here and you're strayed away from the fold, we're asking you to come back. If you have sinned, we're asking you to confess that sin. We're asking you to ask for prayers of the congregation that you may be strengthened and continue to live and to walk the way God wants you to do. Do the things that God wants you to do. If you're here and you're not a Christian, that opportunity is given to you as well to become one, coming in to make that confession that Jesus is the Son of God, be immersed in a watery grave. If you're here and you're a subject, we ask you to please come as we stand and sing.